Okay, no. Okay, thank you, Al. Thank you very much. Well, here is the words. We're looking at the words of Jesus Christ. I was on my sabbatical this summer, and the words of Christ had a big impact. By the way, I do want to share about thanking Pastor Mark for his time continuing to lead the church, and we've had a good time sharing this week. And I thank my dear brother. Thank you, my brother, for your leadership to the church and for the message you brought. And I thank you very sincerely. I do mean that. Thank God bless you, my brother. Well, this is the message here about it says, a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So let me, of course, mention again that leprosy has been documented from the year 3000. It was in Egypt. It was in 1874, they discovered the bacteria about leprosy and about the whole event about the way it decays the body and the way it destroys the nerve endings and the results of that. But leprosy really had a connotation to Jewish people. And the connotation came from this specific passage in Numbers chapter 12, where Miriam and Aaron were criticizing Moses, and God comes on behalf of Moses, and it says, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. This is Numbers 12. And when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us in which we have acted foolishly, in which we have sinned. And this was the place where to the Jewish mind, leprosy was a sign of two things. It was a sign of a curse, but the word that was used about it is it was the stroke. Now, not stroke like what you have when you have a mental hemorrhage and you can't do something with one leper. The stroke was, this was this hand of God, if I could say it that way. This stroke against you, this curse against you if you had contacted leprosy. And here you have the passage about how Miriam suddenly was all leprous and all disfigured. And suddenly it said, notice, do not account this sin to us, that the sin was somehow related to the leprosy. And therefore there was this connotation of this stroke, this curse, this curse that was against you about leprosy that had invaded your body. In verse 12, it says, oh, do not let her be like one dead. If you have leprosy, it eats away at your body, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes forth from his mother's womb. Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, oh, God, heal her, I pray. But the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterwards she may be received again. And so this is where you get the connotation of people who had leprosy were put outside the camp. And that's why they came to this idea. I mean, the whole idea of the leper colony in Hawaii was that they said, we need to put them outside of us. Get them away from us. And so here they is outside the camp. Here is this sin connotation. Here is this shame connotation. And this was the results of what happened. In verse 15, Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days. The people did not move on until Miriam was received again. But now I do want to take about 5 minutes and go through a number of passages in the book of Leviticus. Because in the book of Leviticus, it talks specifically about what happens and how people were controlled about and what they did if they had this disease called leprosy. Now, if a man loses the hair on his head, he is bald, but he is clean. So I am clean. I am clean. I am a bald, clean man. That's my life verse right there. Verse 41, if his head becomes bald at the front and sides, ooh, yes. He is bald on the forehead, yes. He is clean. I am clean. I am clean. I am clean. All right. I knew that would be funny. That's why I picked it. But then, no, we go on. But if on the bald head, now follow with me. If on the bald head or the bald forehead there occurs a reddish-white infection, it is leprosy, breaking out on his bald head or on his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look at him, and if the swelling of the infection is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprosy in his skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. His infection is on his head. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and his hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry unclean, unclean. This is amazing. Listen. For 3,000 years, they didn't know what caused leprosy. And God, in the very beginning, says, let him cover his mustache. God knew that it was due to mucus, nasal seepage. Isn't that amazing? You know, if we follow what God says, somehow he seems to have some information in there that he knows what's right. Isn't that amazing? If these people would have said, why would the prescription be to cover this area? You know something? Maybe it has to do with this area. And they found out 3,000 years later, it was. He shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean, right? Unclean, unclean. That's where you get the expression. Leper people went around, unclean. I'm contaminated. I'm contaminated. I've gotten this stroke. I've gotten this curse. Don't get near me. He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Alone. Alone, outside the camp. Then the priest shall look at the mark and shall quarantine the article of the with the mark for 7 days. He shall then look at the mark on the seventh day. If the mark has spread to his garment, wrapped in the warp or is his wool, or in the leather, whatever the purpose for which the leather is used, the mark of the leprosy malignancy, it is unclean. So he shall burn the garment, whether the warp or the wharf or the wool or the linen of the article of leather in which the mark occurs, for it is a leprous malignancy. It shall be burned in this field. So here they're taking the clothes and it's to be burned. It's contaminated. This is what people had to endure. This is the law of the mark of leprosy in the garment of the wool or linen wrapped in the warp or the wolf or of any article of leather for pronouncing it clean or unclean. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day in which he is cleansing. So here he has contaminated, he has to take his clothes, he's got to take it outside to get rid of it and burn it. And so this was the way of saving the people from contamination. But when they're clean, now he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go outside of the camp, and the priest shall look. And if the infection of the leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two living clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and a hyssop for the one who has been cleansed. So this was an offering you to bring. He is to give orders to take two live clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet string, hyssop for one who is to be cleansed. And the priest who pronounced him clean shall present to the man to be cleansed in the fourscore aforesaid before the Lord of the tent, doorway of the tent of meeting. Now notice these words now, what he says to him here. Then the priest shall take one male lamb and bring it for the guilt offering. So again, this was this identity about bringing the offerings that was called a guilt offering. Was he guilty? Let me say this. Everyone look at me. What would your life be like is that every time you sinned, there was an outward deformity that hit you? You'd be pretty ugly. You're already ugly the way it is, but no, I'm kidding. No. No, I love him. No.
Yeah, I only tell it to you.
No. You know the famous story? Pinocchio, right? You told a lie, there it is. Well, that's a Jewish nose now, right? Jimmy Durante, right? No, but you understand? What happened? Let me tell you something. I'm convinced the reason I saw some misery in Calcutta, India, because they had given their life and they lived right next to this demonic idol, Kaligat. I saw people's deformity. I couldn't imagine such misery, such pain in people's bodies. What would your life, how would you walk around if people could see the sin that was brought forth? What would you, you'd be an emotional cripple. You'd be a physical cripple. They were to bring forth a guilt offering with a log of oil and present them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughter the sin offering. Notice this, the sin offering, the guilt offering. The burnt offering at the place of sanctuary for the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is the most holy. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one who's been cleansed, and on the right thumb of his hand, and on the right big toe of his foot. The priest shall offer up the burnt offerings and the grain offerings on the altar. Then the priest shall make atonement. Atonement has to do with sin. Leviticus chapter 16, the day of atonement, Yom Kippur. The priest shall make atonement for him, so he shall be cleansed. Then the priest shall come in and make an inspection. If he sees the mark has been spread into his house, it is a malignant mark in the house, he is unclean. He shall therefore tear down his house. If there's an infection there because of the clothing, it's in the house, tear down the house. You get termites, we destroy your house. Imagine, you have an insect, we destroy your house. You had the flu, we destroy your house. Just think of that. I mean, listen, you lie live in white Anglo-Saxon American Protestant clean America. You have no idea what this guy was enduring. I only met this guy for 3 hours to try to understand what he was going through. They destroyed the house. It's stones, it's timber, it's plaster of the house. He shall place them outside of the city as an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes in the house during this time, he has quarantined it, becomes unclean. You go in the house, you're unclean. Whoever lies down in the house and washes clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. If on the other hand, the priest comes in and makes inspection, the mark has not indeed spread to the house after the house has been replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the mark has not reappeared. To cleanse the house, then he shall take two birds. Now, how do you clean the house? How do you clean your cleaning? You bring two birds, a cedar wood, a string of scarlet, and hyssop. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, falling on his knees. What did this guy endure? What did this guy endure as he came to Jesus? Now, let me share something else with you. I know I'm going to go a few minutes over. I hope you hang in there with me. I haven't preached in 3 weeks, so I have three 45-minute sermons for you this morning. This summer, I had a very wonderful time with the Lord reading. And there was something I discovered that I'd never discovered as 35 years as a Christian. And I'm going to share it with you. Now, what I'm going to share with you, I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm just sharing with you. As I look at these words, as I share the words of Jesus Christ, this is between you and the Lord. Notice what this man did when he came to Jesus. And falling on his knees before him and saying, if you're willing. Have you ever fallen on your knees before Jesus Christ? I mean, I'm not telling you. Have you ever fallen on your knees, Jesus? Now, you may get down on your knees when you were 4 years old and you said your prayer, Lord, help me if I shall die, take my heaven, the soul to take. You know, that the prayer that you learn. Look in Luke chapter 5. And when he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face. You ever fallen on your face? I'm asking you. You know, this is me personally. I can be sitting in the front here when someone starts praying. I have my legs crossed, just like Bailey, my brother Bailey here has his legs crossed, you know. When I pray, I never keep my legs crossed. I always uncross, you know. What am I? This is a cup of tea. I'm coming to the hand. Hey, Jesus, how you doing, man? What's going on, brother? You're coming to God. You're coming to a holy God. I never come to Jesus. I always, if I'm going to pray, I got to come physically. In my position, I got to, look how this guy fell on his face. And he, oh, by the way, and he implored him. He fell on his face and implored him. He didn't just say, hey, by the way, you know, bless President Bush today. See you later. I mean, this guy was serious. This guy meant business. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof from above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralyzed was lying. Can you imagine what these people did? They were, I got to get to Jesus. Well, there's a roof here. Forget the roof. We'll open up the roof. We'll open up a hole and let this guy down. And look what Jesus says. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus, seeing their faith, not his faith, their faith. Do you mean business with God? This man meant business with God. No one's touched me in years. I go around unclean, unclean, unclean. You don't know the misery I've gone through. They've raised my house. They've taken my clothes. And you're the only one that I have hope in. I've heard of you. I've heard of your name. I've heard of who you say you are. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me well. There came a man named Jairus. He was the official of the synagogue. Jesus was not official of the synagogue. He wasn't even a certified rabbi. He didn't even have a congregation. He was an itinerant pastor, a minister, a rabbi. Here is the leader, Jairus. And what did Jairus do? He fell at Jesus' feet. Now, you know, we don't like sometimes charismatics or Pentecostals. They get too emotional. They raise their hand and say that. Fooey on that. If these people came to their church, you see, they're weird. What are you getting on your face for? What are you getting on your knees for? What's this fanaticism you got here? We're a Baptist church. We're an evangelical free church. We don't do that here. We're not ceiling painters. You don't raise your hands. I've heard all these jokes. They're pretty pathetic, to be honest with you. You got what I'm saying? Look what Jairus did. He fell at the feet of Jesus. People are constantly prostrating themselves at Jesus' feet. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten that serious with God? Now, I'm not saying you're not serious if you don't do it. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to be ritualistic. I'm not to be liturgical, because I know Catholics get on their knees. You can get on your knees, and your heart can be far from being on your knees. That's very clear. That's obviously not against Catholics. I mean, you know, you can be a Baptist, and you can lie on your face, and it means you're far from on your face. It's all ritualistic. But I never saw everybody that came to Jesus came this way. All of them. Read it. Read it. These people were constantly, they were in business with God. This was serious. He had the only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying, and he went, and the crowds were pressing against him. As he entered the city, there were 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, and they met him. They raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They didn't get near him because they couldn't. And Jesus says to them, when you said he saw them, "Go show yourself to the priest," and they were all going, they were cleansed. Here's these 10 leprous men, and suddenly as they're going, their fingers are restored and their patchwork on their skin, and maybe they were blind and now they're being seen. I don't know what their condition was, but they're being cleansed. And suddenly now one of them, when he saw that he had been cleaned, healed, turned back, glorifying God, and with a loud voice, he fell on his face at his feet. I never saw these reactions of people. I'm just being honest with you. I never saw these people's reactions until this summer. These people were all prostrating themselves. They were all, this was not just, you know, sitting around and, yeah, whatever. He fell on his face at his feet. Have you ever fallen on your face at the feet of Jesus Christ? Giving thanks to him. So a slave fell. This is Jesus talking about forgiveness. Jesus fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." What did the man do that he needed the person to forgive him? He fell to the ground, and he prostrated himself. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. What was the debt? His sins. He's the whole parable about the man who owed him all this stuff. His sins is debt that we owe to God. I can't ask God to forgive me with my legs crossed, personally. That's me personally. By the way, Lord, you know, I know I sinned. I put your son on the cross and everything. By the way, forgive me for not being nice today at my wife for that one time or whatever I did today. Forgive me of my sins. Here it says, Jesus entered Capernaum and a centurion came to him, imploring him. This is a Roman man, centurion, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and I'll heal him." The centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." Just say the word. I'm not worthy. I'm not worth it for you to come in my house. I don't have the right to let you who has done these things that I've heard. But just if you say the word, he'll be made well. Jesus said, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, I haven't found anyone like this in all of Israel." Wow, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Your servant is healed. And then it says here, they came to a crowd and a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic. He is ill, for he'd often fall in fire and often in water." Lotus says this, a man came up to Jesus falling on his knees before him. After hearing this, a woman who had a daughter with an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be satisfied first," that's the Jews, "let us not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs on the table feed on the children's crumb." Give me a crumb! Give me a crumb! Jesus says, "Your daughter's been made well. Go, the demon's gone out of your daughter." You see, we live, oh boy, give me my Cadillac. Be happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time. Be have this, have this, have this, have this, have this. That's hell. That's demonic. That's demonic. I told you three things. If you can't preach the gospel of these three people, it's not the gospel. Someone who's full of cancer at Banner Baywood and about to die, if that message is not going to be a comfort to them, it's not the gospel. Be positive, happy all the time, and be positive thinking, and you can wash your dishes, and you can go and get that job. And you, a person in China in prison who's going to have his head cut off because he's committed to Jesus Christ. Well, just think positively, and God will help you, and God will give you a clean toilet and do all this. And the third person is the person in Africa who's in abstract poverty, who has nothing. Nothing. If you can't preach that message, if this message that I'm preaching to you today can't apply to these three people, it's not the gospel. And what you hear on television, my friend, is not the gospel. It's American civil religion. You know what that is? It's the religion of America. Has nothing to do with transforming people. It has to do with getting a lot of money and looking good. And I got a lot of hair. And I'm very handsome. And I got a nice house. Give me a crumb! You don't hear that. You don't hear that. It's tragic. Go to Calcutta, my friend. Mr. Joel, you go to Calcutta. You go to Calcutta. You live there for 6 hours and learn about who God is. Going back to her house, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon left her. What do you think this woman did? She wept. She wept. And there was a certain woman in the city who was a sinner. And she had learned that Jesus was reclining at table at the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and sitting behind him at his feet, she was weeping. She began to wet his feet with her hair. You think this woman's a lunatic. She wet his feet with her tears. She kept wiping them with her hair and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. You think this person's a lunatic. You'd never do that. You just kiss your wife. You don't kiss people's feet. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I indeed entered her house. You gave me no water for my feet, and yet she wets my feet with her tears. You didn't even give me the courtesy as a Jewish house hostess to let me wash my feet because of all the dust. This woman wipes them with her weeping. She's crying. Oh, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me if you knew what I did." Wipes her with her hair. "You gave me no kiss, and since she at that time came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. She did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to her, sins which are many have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is little forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins?" They missed the whole thing. They missed the whole thing. These people were spiritual idiots. They were spiritual. They missed the whole thing. They missed the whole thing. And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Have you ever washed anybody's feet? Have you ever cried and washed their feet with your tears? Have you ever wiped anybody's feet with your hair? Have you ever done any of that? Have you ever done any of that? No, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. You see, these people meant business. Now, I'm not saying this again. I'm trying to be very careful. I'm not trying to say that if you don't do this, you're not serious with God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as I look at the biblical record, it's overwhelming. These people, this was serious. They needed God to do something. They meant business with God. So what happens? A leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him. He said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Now let me tell you something. These words are a very, very big pivotal part in my life. Because, you know, for years I used to pray, "Lord, I know you can do this. I know." Listen, my friend, you and I know God can do anything. The issue is not if God can do it. The issue is God willing to do it? And I realized that God is willing to do it. It changed my life, April 1st, 1977. I was already a Christian for six years. And I realized God is willing to help me. God is willing. God is not an ogre. God is willing. If God is for me, who can be against me? I do not pray. I know this may sound a little heretical. I do not pray, "Lord, if it's according to your will, would you do this?" I don't know if it's God's will. It doesn't say that Sam Rotman's fever in India is going to break. It doesn't say that. But Lord, I know you can break my fever. That's not the issue. But I'm here to secure your willingness to lay hold of you that you will break my fever. And as I got on that plane in Bangalore, I said, "Lord," I got in the corner all by myself, and I bowed my head. I said, "Lord, I need your help. I am desperate. I need your help. I feel sick. I'm weak. I'm dizzy. I feel like I'm going to faint. I need your help. Please, please. And 2 hours later, I sleep and he breaks my fever for the next 4 hours to fly home. My friend, he said, if you are willing, are you willing? God is willing, my friend. God wants to guide you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. Now, I'm not saying from every disease, but he wants to give you strength. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you help. He wants to give you, he's willing to do this. I am willing. Look at me. I never forget when I was reading in my bathtub. I'm not trying that to be funny. The man comes to me, says, you know, that my son has been thrown in the fire, Mark chapter 10, and he's epileptic, and I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do anything with him. But Lord, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, you can make him well. In the next verse, I almost dropped the Bible in the bathtub. I couldn't believe it. I started crying. Jesus says, what do you mean if you can do anything? And the next thing you'd think, Jesus would say, I am God, of course I can do everything. What do you mean if you can? All things are possible with him who believes. Wow! Wow! I'm here! I'm here! What do you want? If you are willing, you can make me well. If you are willing, you can cleanse me. If you're willing, you'll give me wisdom. If you're willing, and when I come to God, I'm saying, I'm not here to twist his arm, but I always say this, before God does anything, he gets people to pray about it. He gets people to rely upon him for it. Lord, you are willing. So let's read on. Look at this verse, Mark 7. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Listen, I'm an evil person, but yet I love my children. We have the Gilmers here this morning with their Paul Michael. You think they're going to prick him with a needle and be happy to see him cry? The Gilmers love him. They're going to care for him. They're going to give him food. They're going to get up at night. They're going to nurse him. They're going to change his diaper. If you being evil, know how to care and love unconditionally your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? Oh, man, we ain't got an idea. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? I came to bring life and bring it abundantly. I'm not talking about Cadillacs. I'm talking about grace. Hear what I said? I'm talking about grace. I don't need a Cadillac. I need grace. That's what you need. And then it says, Jesus moved with compassion. Here is Jesus. What, you know, do you think Jesus understood what this man went through? Absolutely. He knew what this man endured. He realized what his condition was, moved with compassion. Jesus stretched out and with his hand and he touched him. You know, Jesus didn't have to touch him. He didn't have to touch him. He could have done like the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. But he touched him. The first time he felt human touch, Jesus touched him. Well, Jesus, aren't you going to be contaminated? No. He touched him and he said, I'm willing. I am willing. The first words of Jesus. Remember the words of Jesus. That's what we're looking at. I am willing. Be cleansed. I'm willing. I'm willing. When I pray, Lord, are you willing? I'm willing. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows exactly what we endure. Jesus knows our grief. Jesus knows our sorrow. Jesus knew when I was sitting in the middle of Calcutta near Kalighat Temple and seeing human misery. And for a moment, I didn't even know if there was a Jesus or know if there was a God. Can I imagine what Jesus Christ feels? Can I imagine the compassion of Jesus Christ? And you say, why doesn't he do something about it? I don't know. Men are in darkness, and men love the darkness rather than light. I don't know. But do I commit spiritual suicide and turn away from the light? My eyes are upon you. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. to you. Better is the courts in your house for one day than in the courts of the wicked for a thousand years. Who do I have in heaven but you? And who do I have in earth but nothing but you? He sympathizes with us. You know, I love this hymn. You know, joy to the world. And joy to the world. Listen to these words. Listen to these words. We sing this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Listen to these words. No more let sin and sorrows grow. You know, sin and sorrows are a partner. You have sin, you've got sorrows. Nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse. Here was the curse, this man cursed, the stroke. No more let sin nor sorrow, far as the curse is found. I'm willing. And then look what happens. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Imagine right then and there, his hands grew out. He saw his fingernails again. He could see again if he was blind. We don't know the condition. Suddenly all these lesions, it was healed. It wasn't a process of 6 or 8 months. Why? I'll tell you why. Jesus always took care of the root of the problem, not the symptoms. You know what doctors do? Symptoms. What's your symptoms? Oh, take this. Take a decongestant, take this. They can't deal with the root. Only God can deal with the root. He dealt with the root, and the results was the fruit. The root was destroyed, the fruit of those roots was taken away. Not symptoms, the root and the fruit. Immediately the man was healed. Immediately the man was healed. He was cleansed. Jesus talks about this. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Listen. So he came to Simon Peter and he said, Lord, do you wash my feet? He answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never will you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You know why Jesus washed their feet? What happens when you shower? You shower and you clean, you take a bath and everything. What's the first thing that gets dirty? Your feet. Your feet. Your body's still clean. Jesus will clean you where nobody can clean you. And Jesus will keep you clean where nobody will clean you. You got a marriage problem, you got a mother-in-law problem, you got a sin problem, you got an immoral problem. You can't be changed, you can't be cleaned. Only Jesus Christ will clean you. Only Jesus Christ can go to every corner of your heart and clean out every speck of sin. And Jesus says, if I don't clean you, you're not clean. And here he's saying to the man, I'm willing, be clean. Only Jesus Christ will clean you, my friend. And make sure it's Jesus Christ. Don't make sure it's a religion. Don't make sure it's a person. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus Christ. He says, if I do not wash, you have no part with me. Peter said, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet. Remember, that's what I said. But is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Why not all of you? Because of the betrayal. Judas Iscariot was not clean. His sins were not forgiven by Jesus Christ. His heart was deceitfully wicked. He was playing games with God. And then Jesus says these words. He sternly warned him, immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer to your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. I want you to imagine, let's call this man Simon the leper. And I want you to imagine Simon the leper. I mean, think for a minute, did anybody ever come to a priest? How many people came and fulfilled Leviticus chapter 13 and 14? How many times did that happen? 5 times, 20 times? I don't know. Did anybody? So here is this man coming up, and here is Caiaphas the high priest, or the other priest. And he says, yes. He says, I'm Simon. Simon, what are you, Simon who? Simon, I was Simon the leper. You don't look like Simon the leper. Look at my hands. Oh my goodness. What? Imagine for a minute. They didn't recognize him. Imagine Michaela looking like without he had all of his leprosy. No sunglasses, no patchwork, no medical things, no knobs. Imagine, he's restored. They don't recognize him. What are you here for? I'm here to fulfill what Moses said. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. We've never had anybody do this. Who did this to you? Who did this to you? Jesus. Jesus did this to me. Jesus was strategically doing this to let the people know the Messiah has come. I came. You've never seen a leper healed, have you? You've never seen a man bring his offering, have you? You've never seen the restoration, have you? But I've come into the world. I've come into the world. I've come to change people's lives. Look what this man did then. He went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Now, wouldn't you think that if Jesus did this to you, don't you think you'd go out high and wide in every place and just blast it all over the world? I mean, I would. I mean, it's very strange. And then I read this little bit here by J.C. Rowler, wrote this about 200 years ago. Listen to this. There is a lesson in all of this deep importance, however difficult it is to understand what's being said here. It is clear that there are times when our Lord would have us work for him quietly and silently, patiently, rather than attract public attention by a noisy zeal. There is a zeal which is not according to knowledge, as well as a zeal which is righteous and praiseworthy. Everything is right in its own times and its own way. Our Lord's cause may, on some occasions, be more advanced by quietness and patience and letting people see a reaction that would be different than we would impose. But we are not to give that which is holy to dogs or cast pearls before swines. But forgetfulness of this may even by some do more harm than good, and we may even hinder the very cause we want to advance. Isn't it interesting? These are the words of Jesus. Go to the priest and show to him. No, I know a better way. I'm going to go tell everybody. Go to the priest and tell him. The words of Jesus. The guy didn't do it, and it was not good. It was not good, even though what sounds logical to us, what sounds rational to us, what sounds legitimate to us. That's why we need to hear the words of Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Follow him. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant heareth. I'm not saying that Jesus will speak to me audibly, but Lord, guide me. You told me not to speak, but you'll give me the words of the Holy Spirit to speak. Speak, for your servant hears. And here, with one intention of doing this way, he was ruining what he could have done in another way. So, my friend, I offer this to you. Are you cleansed? Are you cleansed? Are you cleansed? Have you been cleansed by the person of Jesus Christ? My friend, the only way you'll be cleansed is by him. You can be moral, you can be religious. I was very moral, I was very religious. But you'll never be cleansed, you'll never be healed, you'll never be changed. Only Jesus Christ will do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your son, for his willingness, for his kindness, for his mercy. And we'll meet this leper someday, I'm convinced of it, whole and complete. And we will, with him, fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and crown him Lord of all. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Forgive me for the late hour. God bless you and have a good afternoon.